It's All About Food with Karen Hartglass, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
I'm Karen Hartglass, and this is It's All About Food. Thank you for joining me today. It's going to be fun. Really fun. On this show, we talk about food. Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes it's happy. Sometimes it's sad. There's all kinds of things that are related to food and our food choices, because really it is all about food, at least in my mind. And while we're on the subject of food, well, that's the subject for this hour. I just wanted to tell you what I'm eating, just because I think it's fun. I don't usually go for fast food. You know, I'm all about making food at home, but I did have a very compact day, and I just wanted to recommend something that's really great to pick up if you're looking for something fast and good: tabbouleh salad. And a lot of the Middle Eastern foods, falafel and hummus and things, are really getting popular. But tabbouleh is really great. I want to tell you why. It's great because it's mostly green. Green, you know, my favorite color, those dark leafy greens that are so nutritious and great for the immune system. We really want to load up on those dark leafy green vegetables. You've heard me say it before, and I'm saying it again. And so the great thing about tabbouleh is it's loaded with parsley. Really great food, great for lunch. I just had some, and I thought I would share that with you. I'm also having a little green tea, so it's a very green, green moment. So, our guest today, we've got the vegan pimp.
Hello.
Sharon Nazarian is Vegan Pimp. She's the co-founder and chief executive pimp of veganpimp.com. Now, she's a former financial advisor, and she lives in New York City, loves fashion, vegan food, dancing, and healthy, compassionate, cruelty-free living. A pimp at heart. We'll see what that means. She's always been a cheerleader for the things she loves, whether that be people, products, services, philanthropic organizations, causes, or events. VeganPimp.com launched in 2006 with a mission to make being vegan fun, fashionable, and effortless by being the hookup to cruelty-free products and swag. As such, VeganPimp.com offers an extensive line of fashionable vegan merchandise, like designer handbags and shoes, as well as a whole line of creative vegan message products like t-shirts, tote bags, pendant jewelry, and a host of other stuff. The informational aspect of the site has expanded with videos and cooking demos. As Vegan Pimp, Sharon has turned into quite the social butterfly, attending all kinds of vegan-related events around town. Sharing these experiences has become a featured content on the blog. So that's Sharon, and she's here with me in the studio here in Manhattan. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Karen.
So we're going to talk about all things fun and vegan.
Okay.
And that actually might be redundant, fun and vegan, because I think vegan is fun.
I like that. I think so, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Vegan Pimp. Where did you get a name like that?
I don't know. Well, when I decided to become vegan, it just came to me that I was struggling trying to figure out what kinds of foods I can eat, and, you know, what fashionable products, you know, handbags and shoes would be vegan. And I'm seeing all my friends with all their fabulous Stuart Weitzmans and stuff, and I'm like, I can't compete with Payless. This was like 5 years ago, so there weren't all the great vegan designers out there that there are today, you know, which we do have a plethora, which I'm always talking about too on my blog.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to that.
And so I just felt like, you know, I wanted to help everybody else, you know, kind of make it easy for them to also just get hooked up with the vegan stuff. So hooking up, I don't know, it just came to me, Vegan Pimp.
Oh, I get it. Hooking up and pimp. Okay.
It kind of stuck. Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I seem to get a lot of good positive feedback from that. So
sure,
everybody
definitely
chuckles.
Gets people's attention, and maybe you can elevate the standard connotation of what that word normally means.
Well, that's what I was hoping that would happen.
You're pushing something good.
I mean, I was hoping people wouldn't be like, oh, you know, but so far it's been positive.
Yeah.
Although I was
it.
Reading in Russell Simmons' new book, Super Rich, mm-hmm. and he has this section where he talks about pimps and how pimps, you know, are bad. Like, but he was talking about pimps in the traditional sense of the word pimp. And I'm like, geez, I want to meet Russell someday, but is he going to be offended that I'm vegan pimp? Like, am I? So anyway, but it's interesting. But, you know, the term pimp has come to be, you know, more, you know, fun and about like hooking
right.
things
well, let's
up. Right.
So. Well, let's put the old fashioned pimp out of business and
like
really
it.
Bring new meaning to the word pimp.
Let's do it.
Hook up people up with things that are good for us, healthy for the planet, healthy for our bodies, and cruel, violent, and cruelty free. Let's turn it around. I mean,
let's
there are
this.
A lot of words that originally meant something opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be another one.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
I like it, too. Thanks, Karen.
There you go. Okay, so you were a financial advisor.
Yes, I was.
How could you give that up?
Oh, my God. It was so difficult. Oh, my God. I was about ready to slit my wrist. So I was like, you know what? I think it's time to walk away from the big salary and just think of something else. I mean, I was a dancer, psychology major, and I danced, I did social work. I mean, it was just really a natural progression for me to become a financial advisor, wasn't it? So I was like in this conservative world and, you know, didn't really fit in. But, you know, I did a good job. I mean, my clients, you know, I felt I liked helping people and that aspect of it. But, you know, at some point I was just like, you know, now I kind of got progressively.
You want to help people with different products or
right.
maybe with a different mission behind what you're selling or what
yeah,
you're...
Yeah, something that's more in my heart. That's something, you know... I don't pick up financial magazines to read. I don't want to read, I don't know, Money Matters and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because you know what? It doesn't.
It's like I'm not that person that wants to be doing that. So I
There's
so,
a lot more to life.
There is.
Okay. So... Something that I talk about a lot is access, and it is so important in order for us who are proselytizing this message or trying to get this thing across to people, it is to provide access in many different ways so that people can have what they want, you know, and feel good about themselves. And so there's a lot of opportunity for entrepreneurs like yourself to create something, and we each of us can't do it all, clearly. So it's great that we have all these restaurants popping up at New York City, the greatest city in the world.
Of
Manhattan
course.
Is the best place for vegan restaurants worldwide. I know. I've been all around.
See, I haven't, but that's good to know.
Yeah, I mean, there's nice little vegan restaurants popping up all over the world, and that's a beautiful thing. But we have more in Manhattan.
We do.
Okay, but anyway, it's all about access. Yeah. And so... there are a few stores popping up. We have Mooshoes here in Manhattan where they sell vegan shoes. And the thing about being vegan, I'm always saying this, it is not just a diet. It is a lifestyle. And some of the things that we discover when we make this choice, either being for health or environment or we don't want to kill animals, whatever it is, when you start to turn towards the vegan path and the vegan light or the vegetarian path even, all these doors start to open that you never noticed before. Now, some of them are good and some of them could make you uncomfortable, can make you unhappy. And it's just like one of the things you said because, you know, you like fashion. And I know with my partner, Gary, he loves fashion, and he became a vegan around 2007. And it's harder for men, I think, than for women to find really good vegan fashion in terms of shoes and suits. And so it's a compromise because, you know, there's nothing wrong with looking good.
Right.
And personally, I think... if we really want to get our message across, we should be the best looking out there.
I agree. I think that's fabulous. Absolutely.
So people want to be like us. And we really need to make being vegan sexy and hip and funky and mainstream. Okay, and so you're a part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I am.
No, a very important part. It's access. Access to all of these different things. Right. So this show is about all, it's all about food, and we're definitely going to talk more about food. But what people may not realize is how the food business touches so many other businesses. There are so many byproducts of animal agriculture for food that spin off into other products. You know, the leather and the glues and things that go into plastics.
Yeah.
All are related to the primary industry, the primary horrible, exploitive, violent, horrible industry of factory farming of animals.
Right.
So this is, I'm just trying to justify why I'm going to talk about your fabulous boots on your website.
I love it.
Because it is somehow indirectly food related.
It is.
So who makes these things that you have on your site? Where do you find the products?
Well, just look for brands that are not using animal products, and there are so many. So, you know, and just meeting new people and networking and stuff and finding new people, new products. I was at an event back in August, and I met a woman who works for Handbag Heaven, which is one of the designers that we use. And she didn't realize that, you know, her bags were vegan or that there was that spin on her bags.
Wow.
So, you know, so I started, you know, putting them on my site and marketing them as vegan. And they were so grateful that now they have this new audience,
a new
and
market,
a new definition, and all their things on their site, you know, they're all vegan. So, and they specifically say, you know, faux leather or, you know, whatever. So,
interesting. What was her motivation to use those materials?
Well, the woman I talked to, she sort of works for the company, so I didn't, you know, sort of meet with the designers and the owners of the company per se, but, you know, I think some of it might be that, you know, started out by making things that weren't as expensive, that using materials like, you know, leather can be more expensive than, you know, other, you know, vegan materials. So.
Right. So I was on your site, and there are some really, really hot-looking things. The first thing that's on your boot list are those colorful rain boots.
Yeah.
And they're on sale now.
Yes. Those are pretty fun.
Do you know that particular product? Are they comfortable? Because I find a lot of the rubber boots that people are wearing, your foot kind of moves around, and I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I haven't actually worn those,
yeah.
So I'm.
They look great.
They do.
They have a great heel on them.
Right.
That looks really supportive.
Right. But the good thing about, you know, all the products we have, you know, we work with companies that have very good return policies, so it's not a problem to get, you know, to exchange or return.
So you just went to, what kind of show was this you just went to?
It actually was, you know, for internet and businesses. It's called Affiliate Summit.
Right.
And it's really a great organization and conference that they have every year. In fact, we just had one in Vegas. So I was just in Vegas a week ago, and the conference was at the Wynn.
Right.
And, you know, Steve Wynn just, you know, announced his whole vegan menus at all the places. So I had lots of fun going around and sampling some different foods and put up some videos on my blog about it. So
great.
It was fun.
Let's talk about that. Steve Wynn, as some of you may have heard, has gone vegan, and he is one of the names we're throwing around a lot lately because we do like to talk about people in power and celebrities in order to somehow bolster our movement.
Right.
I'm not sure why we need that, but
we do. I mean, it's just you and me. I mean, who's going to, I don't know. I mean, you're fabulous.
I think you're fabulous.
I think I'm fabulous, but I mean, I don't know.
But who are we? So,
who are we?
Steve Wynn, he's somebody that has created an empire in Las Vegas. He had the vision a couple of decades ago of creating this destination that was not there before. Okay, so he's a man with vision. He's a man with a lot of money, a lot of power. He doesn't have to be vegan, okay? He can do whatever he wants, and yet he's chosen to be vegan. Why? Because he realizes that it's the best thing for his health, and he wants to look good and feel good. Okay? Simple. So he's done this great thing where he's offering vegan items in all of his venues.
Yep.
So did you get to try anything interesting?
I did. There was an awesome sandwich at Zuza Crackers deli that was, it's fun to say. Anyway, it was, and it was delicious. It was like 3 inches high. It was fabulous. So I had tons of vegetables, and he had huge salads there and had matzo ball soup.
Vegan matzo ball soup?
Vegan matzo ball soup, yeah.
Was it good?
You know what? It was okay.
Yeah, matzo ball soup is a tough one to make vegan.
Yeah, I didn't love it, but yeah, and then there was another restaurant, which I didn't get a chance to go to, which had some kind of tofu cabbage wrap or something that looked pretty amazing, and a tofu scramble, which you can't ever go wrong with a tofu scramble.
That's
it's just
right.
So fabulous.
And why all breakfast serving restaurants don't have one on their menu.
I know. It's so easy.
So easy.
I was going to start a campaign because the last time I was in Vegas, I couldn't find anything vegan. It was like a few years ago. I was staying at the MGM Grand. I was with friends who weren't vegan, and we're going to all these places, and I was like, I had a breakdown at the third day. I like almost started crying because I'm like, there wasn't anything that was like substantive, you know, vegan, and it was just, it was horrible. And so I thought, you know, well, just a can of beans. If you just have a can of beans, at least it can be added to a salad to make it a little more substantive and give it some more, you know. And so anyway, and then what was I going to say? One, I don't know why I'm going on with this story, but one night, like the last night there, when I was at, everyone was out there with them because they're like, we can't figure out how to satisfy this vegan. She's going nuts, like ever. I don't know how to deal with my friend. And we finally found, like, at a Mexican restaurant. I'm like, of course they have black beans at
and
a restaurant,
rice.
Of course. So I, of course, starting with the questions, and they're cooked in lard.
Oh, gosh, right.
So
they
anyway.
Got to keep it authentic.
Exactly. So I was going to start a campaign to have a can of beans in every restaurant. So, like, it's kind of a no-brainer. Every restaurant has a, you know,
right.
It would be nice if, you know, there would be more restaurants.
Well, you're giving me some ideas, and certainly for folks that are trying to eat healthier, going veg, going vegan, and aren't finding many choices in their area, certainly going to restaurants and making suggestions in a loving, non-judgmental, and compassionate way, because certainly people don't respond when you're angry and argumentative.
Right.
But restaurants should know that their business will improve if they cater to the vegetarian market. And there are definitely chefs that are starting to realize this now. Many more mainstream restaurants are starting to offer vegetarian and vegan options because, okay, there the percentages, the data isn't really clear about how many of us are out there, but there is usually one of us in a group of 10.
Right. That's true.
And,
sounds
I mean,
right.
I don't want to say that we're 10%, but usually in parties that go out, there's somebody that's veg-leaning. And so if you want to go to a restaurant and have everybody be happy, then there's got to be some veg-friendly items on the menu. So if a restaurant wants to be smart, and this is a difficult economy, you want to be able to cater to those discerning vegans and vegetarians.
Well, just to touch on the fact that you brought up about how, you know, approaching when you go to a restaurant, approaching the waiter, you know, the management to say, you know, you're vegan or whatever. I guess being vegan pimp has kind of, you know, armed me with a little bit more. I've kind of feel a little more brazen about putting myself out there.
Well, you're a card holding vegan.
I'm the chief vegan. I mean, like, how can I back down from that? So, was recently in Texas, and you can actually go for a lot of miles without running into a vegan or vegetarian there.
Yeah.
And I went to a seafood restaurant there, and I explained to the waiter that I was vegan, and he's like, well, we can bring out a bunch of sides for you, which they had a huge thing of broccoli rabe and all kinds of stuff, which they brought out with cheese on it, which to explain that, you know, no, it's not vegan. So, but they were like, oh, we can bring you a bunch of sides, or, you know, I can tell the chef, and he'll prepare something for you. So I was like, okay. So he whipped up this beautiful dish that was, like, piled high. It was gorgeous.
Right.
And it was just so great to know that, you know, if you approach things and you're positive and you sort of put yourself out there that you're vegan and not sort of, you know, shrink and be like, oh, you know, I'm not going to say anything. So, and I was inspired too by Linda Long. She wrote that book, Great Chefs Cook Vegan.
I just passed her on the corner coming
here. Did you?
Here.
She's so fabulous. I absolutely adore her. Anyway, she wrote this book, and in her book, it's all about how she would go out and announce, you know, talk to the chefs ahead of time or call the management and say she's vegan and she's coming. And just her whole approach to being vegan in a non-vegan world has really kind of inspired me to you know, try and take that softness out there and bring it out there, but in a gentle way.
It works most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, a lot of chefs worldwide are open to the challenge. It doesn't work all the time, but most, I would say 99.9%. I've only had a handful of times. I remember being in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That seemed to be, maybe it's changed, but the places that I went to, the vegetables were French fries and potato salad.
Right. That's not very
so,
good.
Because the thing is to look on the menu and see what they're preparing, so you have an idea of what they've got in the kitchen, and then if you see they're serving some kind of chicken with broccoli thing, you know they have broccoli or spinach or onions or mushrooms. And then you can say, you've got all of these things. Can you put it together?
Right.
Which reminds me of a very silly story. But I lived in France for 4 years, and I speak French fluently. And after when I came back to the States, I went with my family to France, and we were in Paris. And I've always found it easy to eat in France, except in Paris. Outside of France, everyone's lovely and friendly and accommodating. Mm-hmm. Paris, it's a little more difficult. So we were in one of these brasseries, which is kind of like a French diner. And I'm trying to find something other than French fries. And I realized they had all these omelets on the menu, omelets with all different kinds of vegetables. And so I thought, okay, they could probably do a vegetable sauté without the omelet. And so I said, in perfect French, I would like this vegetable omelet here without the eggs. And they looked at me like, you know, get lost. No, we can't do it. So I have only two stories where I had trouble getting vegetarian food, and they were both in France. But I don't want to knock France because I've had wonderful, wonderful vegan meals while I lived there and visited there.
I haven't been to France.
Ah, j'adore. Well, the thing about France and a lot of other European countries is many restaurants are great with salads. So you really can't go wrong and get a beautiful salad with some butter lettuce or mesclun greens. And the interesting thing is when for a couple of years I was a raw vegan,
mm-hmm.
and I'm back to being a vegan that eats mostly what I call the Dr. Furman Eat to Live
mm-hmm. yeah.
diet. So I do eat cooked food. But for a couple of years, I was a raw vegan. And I found when I was in Germany, it was actually easier to get some really interesting food in these tiny little German towns where I would explain to them in German. Now, I'm not fluent in German, but I could get my point across and say that I wanted raw vegetables and nothing cooked. Some really, really great salads. You know, they use a lot of vinegar and dill, and it was a lot easier than to get something cooked vegan.
Because
when it's cooked, you don't really know what's in it. You know, is it
chicken
broth?
Chicken stock in there, yeah. Mm-hmm. Butter.
Or butter. You know, have you heard this where you say, I can have butter? Oh, there's just a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah.
And while we're on this subject, whatever subject it is.
I don't know. We're just talking about food. We're food and travel.
It's all about food.
It is all
don't
about
forget.
Food. We came back to it.
Yeah. Well, no. We never left.
We never. You're right. We didn't leave.
The thing about travel and about life in general is that you need to be clear and you need to be able to communicate in order to get what you want. And so sometimes, you, like you said, you were in Texas and you got the broccoli with cheese. Well, unfortunately, you have to be really clear and say, mm-hmm. I'm a vegetarian, I'm a vegan, which means, what does that mean, ladies and gentlemen? It means not only do I not eat flesh, meat, pork, chicken, fish, the scaly vegetable. I don't also eat dairy products. That means no butter, no cheese, no milk. And you have to really spell it out in a lot of places because
they don't get it.
They don't get it. Because they're not, it's just something that they have not been given reason to think about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to insult these people or whatever, but I do want to, in some ways, enlighten them and
right.
give them a little food for thought.
Right. I like that. Good. Right.
But you do have to spell it out. You can never assume that they know
That's the thing. Yeah, you have to be a little vigilant, too. Mm-hmm. When I go to Chipotle, which I love because they have all the great vegan, you know, things you can put together, a salad and whatever. But I was watching them make it the other day, and it was like there was cheese flying into the guacamole, and then there was some sour cream that went into it, and, you know, the woman just kind of scooped it out, and there was still some stuff in there. I'm like, I hope that doesn't end up in my thing because I'm going to have to say something or do something. But, you know, you have to...
Yeah, and you just made me think of something.
I feel so ridiculous doing that, but it's like, oh, you know what I mean? But it just shows how people aren't on page with you know, with that across the board.
Right.
So that's just so important to get, you know, which is I really want my website to kind of grow and to be more more about inclusive of bringing everybody in. So I'm trying to get more information on there to approach to non-vegans, like kind of, you know, sections where you can go to and just, you know, here's the 101.
That's good. So sometimes when I'm trying to gauge the person I'm talking to, like the server in a restaurant, if I feel like I'm not connecting, I step it up a notch and I'll say, I can't eat dairy, I will die. And all of a sudden, I have their attention.
That's good. I've never tried that.
Yeah, the death clause.
It gets dramatic.
Really, really gets.
Not
only really
break out in hives, I'm going to
die. Yeah, die.
Right here in your restaurant. Yeah. Rigor mortis.
Yeah, it works.
Happening.
Unfortunately.
Oh, I like that. I'm glad I know. See, this is the kind of things, you know, talking with, you know, wonderful vegans like you, we learn how to, you know.
So, just a few things to keep in mind. When you're out there trying to find vegan food and you're new at it, one thing that's great is I have this little handbook. It's called the Vegan Passport. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen
it. You can Google it and get it online. It's like $5. It has in 35 or 36 languages what vegans eat.
Cool.
So it's very handy to go. The best time I had with it was when I was in Korea, and I gave it to this server, and she read it. And so respectfully, just read it word for word, nodded, and brought me something very nice.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic to know about.
The Vegan Passport. Highly recommend it.
I'm going to get that on my site.
Yeah, you know, you should.
I have books on there, so I'm sure I can
The Vegan Passport.
Find it. I love it.
So you mentioned guacamole, and here is something that you would think so innocently would be vegan, but there are places that sneak mayonnaise into guacamole, that sneak some sort of dairy.
I had a situation like that like a few months ago. I can't remember where it was, but I was like, this just does not look right.
Right. So, you know, not only if you really want to avoid dairy, which personally is the worst food on my list, you have to be really clear. And so if you're being served guacamole, you have to ask, is there mayonnaise in here or is there any sort of dairy? Okay.
Hummus and baba ganoush, too.
Hummus is usually safe, but baba ganoush.
Usually. I can't remember if it was hummus or baba ganoush. I was at the City Winery, I think, was the place downtown, and I was asking them all kinds of questions, grilling them, and they're like, well, let me double-check and see if that's vegan.
Right.
And they came back, and they're like, no, we have, you know.
There's mayonnaise sometimes in baba ganoush.
Maybe it was the baba ganoush.
And tahini.
Like, why do you have to do that?
Right.
It's not necessary.
It cheapens it. It makes it less expensive for them.
I can't imagine how.
Well, the
tahini,
traditional
lemon.
Recipe is with tahini, and tahini is more expensive than mayonnaise. So.
Then they shouldn't call it baba ganoush.
I know.
You know, I mean, call it something else.
Well, you know, let's get back to France, and that's the nice thing about France, okay? The names of food mean what the ingredients are in them. So when you buy a baguette, okay, it will never have eggs and it will never have dairy because it becomes a different kind of bread like brioche when it has eggs or dairy in it. Anyway, so ratatouille is always vegan. You know, otherwise if they stick something else in it, it is not ratatouille. It is something else. Okay. Right.
Very good. I like it.
So there's guacamole with the, you got to be careful.
Right.
And then, so let's go around to the different cuisines. There's Chinese food, which is great. One of my, I think it could be my favorite.
Because they always will do steamed. You just say, vegetables steamed, please. Thank you.
Because if they're not a vegetarian Chinese place or if they're not Buddhist friendly, they Saute with chicken broth.
Yeah.
And you don't know it.
Yeah.
And Italian restaurants can do that, too, saute vegetables and chicken broth. So, again, you have to be clear. And, okay, maybe you don't care if you're going to get a little chicken broth, but do you want a little salmonella in your vegetables? Do you want a little E. coli in your vegetables?
Exactly. I think the answer's no.
No. Thai restaurants, you got to beware
fish
of the
sauce.
Fish stock.
They, damn that fish sauce.
They,
it's
they
not
stick
necessary.
Fish sauce and fish stock.
Why?
In everything.
Why?
Now, and they're sneaky because they will have menus that say vegetarian on it, and
uh-huh.
they will have a whole list of food, and they're still using fish sauce.
It's like, it's ridiculous.
But you know,
on.
It's because
get the F out of here. It's not vegetarian
well,
with
but,
fish sauce. And that's the thing. Fish is sort of like a blind spot in people's minds. Everybody says, you know, you're
the
vegetarian.
Scaly vegetable.
Yeah, but so you mean you don't even eat fish?
Like, yeah. But okay. You cannot be angry with these people.
No,
it's
you can't.
Just, they just don't know.
Right.
And there are places, unfortunately, that believe that vegetarians eat fish.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is not the official definition in English, mm-hmm. but in other places, fish is included in a vegetarian
in
diet.
In what places?
I believe in Israel. And maybe in some of the Asian places. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with those languages.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be really clear.
Hmm.
So vegetarian in the English language means no flesh, and flesh can come from fish. Just in case you were wondering. The other.
Let's say that again. Let's drive this point
on. Yeah, let's, yeah.
People might
vegetarians
be unclear.
Don't eat fish. Vegetarians don't eat fish.
And what about sharks? What about dolphins?
Right, well, they're mammals, and vegetarians don't eat flesh from mammals.
Fish, okay. I get it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you get it. Oh, I think that's why you've been looking at me, Matt. I think it's time for a break. I need to take a little sip of my green tea.
I thought he was looking at me.
And get a bite from my green tabbouleh salad. And we're going to be right back. Me, Karen
awesome.
Hartglass, and Sharon Azarian, the vegan pimp. We'll be right back.
This is PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, this is Karen Hartglass, and I am a vegan. No, I am not an alien from planet Vega. I simply choose to eat plant-based foods. Join me on Ask a Vegan every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be talking about everything from soup to nuts. Plant-based foods are the healthiest foods to eat, as well as being the most economical, the most compassionate, and the least destructive. If you want to know more about the healthy, planet-friendly, plant-based diet, call in with your questions. Or call in and share your favorite vegan recipes. Tune in on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on www.progressiveradionetwork.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Mayor Eisenstein. Every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, I will be coming to you live on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I will bring my background as a physician and as an attorney to help you with a minimal pharmaceutical and a minimal surgical approach to your medical issues. Please come join me.
So to join in on the conversation, call 888-874-4888. Ask Dr. Eisenstein, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on Progressive Radio Network.
South of the border.
Hello, I'm Johnny Mueller, and I have a brand new show called The Expat Files. And it's all about living, working, playing, or retiring in Latin America. I know what it's like to buy land, build a house, start a business. I've been through it in a dozen Latin countries. So, if you're thinking about moving down, or you're just curious, be sure to listen in Mondays and Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Down Mexico way.
Let your imagination fly. I'm Francesca Rhiannon. Take a trip with me through the literary landscape of Writer's Voice. Join the tour and the conversation as we talk with writers of all genres about matters that move us and make us think. Right here on the Progressive Radio Network, every Saturday at noon.
You're listening to the Progressive Radio Network, celebrating 5 years of independent points of view.
We're back. I'm Karen Hartglass, and this is It's All About Food. And I'm here with Sharon Nazarian, the vegan pimp. And we're having fun because this show is all about being fun because we're vegan. Because being vegan is fun.
Yeah.
Being vegan is not about deprivation. Being vegan is not about not having. Being vegan is opening the door to a beautiful life of joy.
I love that.
A cruelty-free, compassion-filled, joy-filled life, because pain and suffering is not in my name. And this is
I love that.
Thank you.
Because it's the opposite of what everybody thinks when you say vegan. You're like, oh, you can't have this, you can't have that.
Exactly.
No, I choose not to have it, I don't want to have it, and look at all these other things that I have.
You can have it all, really.
You can.
And I don't know why we're here on this planet. I don't know the meaning of life. All I know is there's a lot of ugly stuff out there, and I don't want to support it. I'm looking towards making this planet a better place, whatever way I can, and providing inspiration for other people to do the same. And this is how we do it. And we do it by supporting products that are gentle on the planet, that are healthy for us, and don't hurt anybody. And by anybody's, I mean humans and animals. And in that category of animals are fish and chicken and bugs, because they all deserve to have a nice life.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I love that.
God.
Great philosophy. You speak so eloquently.
Thank you, Karen. Well,
very good.
I want to think that I'm channeling.
Who are you channeling?
Channeling the good, the universal good. I open up and I am a channel for good. I don't know.
Your chakras are clear. You have a glow. I think I see an aura. I think it's orangey red. Is that your hair?
No. I don't know, but all I know is I'm a petite woman, but my astral form is huge.
I love it. It's true. It's true.
So we were just talking about during the break this one product on the veganpimp.com site, veganpimp.com, that I think I'm definitely going to have to pick up, and that is the vegan necklace. Mm-hmm. It's quite cute, and there's a number of different ones, but basically it says vegan since, and you can put in the year that you became vegan. I like it. Why not? Why not? It's a good conversation piece. Mm-hmm. People can go, oh, my God, you've been vegan that long? Whatever. So you have a blog on your website.
I do.
How long have you been doing that?
Well, you know, I've had the website for a number of years, but I just really started pumping some energy into that blog over the last, you know, 4 or 5 months. Really kind of immersed myself in being vegan pimp. So I had a sprinkling of stuff before then, but I've really been putting a lot of my energies into it.
Right. So are any of them particular highlights for you, or have gotten some good feedback?
Actually, a lot of, you know, I talk about some of the events that I've gone to and sort of covering the events, like Forks Over Knives, the movie premiere, that got a lot of response because the movie's so fabulous. And, you know, it was just, I mean, that's one of the things that's just so great to be a part of this community and what's going on and all these changes, because, you know, have a platform to highlight it and to promote and pimp all this stuff out. So that's been really great, and just meeting all these fabulous people and authors and creative people.
Let's talk about Forks Over Knives just for a brief minute. It's a documentary. It's coming out in March. And it features Dr. T. Colin Campbell, who we've had on this show, and I'll probably have him back, and Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn. I haven't gotten him on yet, but I'm certainly going to ask him at some point. Mm-hmm. And these are two phenomenal men. What are they, in their 70s or so?
Maybe.
Stunning.
They don't look like
they
it,
are
though.
Handsome, stunning, slim, clear-eyed. They both have incredible resumes, and they're just kind. And gentle. Mm-hmm. And you don't see these giant super egos either. I mean, they have egos, clearly, but they're smart. And they don't have to do any more in their lives. They mm-hmm. don't. They could just go and play golf.
Right.
You know, but they're out there with a mission to make this a better planet and to get people healthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they both come from slightly different backgrounds, but their stories are really compelling, and they have answers for all of us. And so now they have this great documentary coming out, and I love the title, Forks Over Knives. That's surgical knives, because a healthy...
I thought it was like knives cutting into flesh.
Yeah, well, okay.
But that, too, I guess has double meaning.
It has a lot of meaning.
Yes.
Yeah, because the idea is that a healthy plant-based diet will definitely reduce the risk super significantly with all these chronic diseases that we're facing today. Heart disease and diabetes, for the most part, are preventable and reversible. No, we don't have to die of a heart attack. We can, I think humans are meant to live a long, happy, healthy life and die peacefully in their sleep.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to be falling from all of these diseases. I mean, that's another thing you've probably heard. When you talk about being a vegan and people go, oh, I don't want to give up my burger. I love my food and we're all going to die anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is, it's a response that doesn't make sense to me because, number one, nobody wants to experience pain and suffer. And I think if we're all feeling good, we're going to want to feel good for as long as we can. And you can't, you know, you may think you love your food that much.
Mm-hmm.
But if we could only lift the veil and show you that you can have wonderful, yummy, delicious food, you're not going to miss a thing, and you get all these bonuses of feeling great, and you're not going to have triple bypass surgery and have your sternum cracked open and get a stent shoved in that's not even going to last. Okay, so
frustrating,
back to...
It's frustrating, though, kind
it's
of living in the world where people are just so committed to their meat as if it's theirs, but, and, you know, dairy and, you know, calcium and protein, you know, it's just sort of all the talk of macronutrients, and there's no understanding of the depth of nourishment of food.
People don't know what protein
it's just,
is.
It's kind of, it can be frustrating. I still struggle with that. As a vegan pimp, I shouldn't be struggling with that. I should, you know, I should know all these things. I should be like, yeah, and this, that, and the other thing. But it's challenging sometimes when you're up against that. I was recently at home visiting my family, and I was hanging out with, you know, they're lovely people. I love them dearly. But, you know, some of them go out and shoot Bambi on the weekends, and they really like it.
Yeah.
And the conversation surrounding, you know, shooting Bambi and, you know, going out and hunting and...
Yeah, well, you bring up an interesting point, and I'm not getting off the subject here. This is the subject, but I was just reading in the New Yorker today, last week's magazine. I'm always a week behind. But there was an article about Spider-Man, the musical. And for those of you that aren't up on the theater scene here in New York, for months now, there's been this new musical, Spider-Man. It's made mainstream news because of all the accidents that they've had. This one woman got a concussion. Somebody else broke two wrists. This other guy fell, and it's just a nightmare. And it hasn't even officially opened yet, and yet all these people are buying tickets to go to the, quote, previews. And the article was about how people enjoy seeing violence.
Mm.
And that was really a chilling and scary message. It kind of brings us back to Rome. And all of those different events that used to happen in the arenas where people would literally get killed and people went and flocked to them to see them. So there is a significant percentage of the human community that likes to be involved in a dangerous event or see some violence.
Mm-hmm.
That's chilling to me. Mm-hmm. I am not one of those people.
Yeah, I know. In those scary movies, everybody, I can't.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it. Even like the littlest bit of violence, it makes me very upset.
I am all about not promoting violent images. Mm-hmm. I want to lift the world to a better place. But there are people that like it. So what are you going to do? There are people that like to hunt. There are people that like to kill. I don't get it.
I don't get it. I don't get it either, Karen.
Don't get it.
I'm glad we're hanging out.
If anyone
together.
Wants to explain it to me, you can send me an email, because I take emails and I love to get them. info@realmeals.org. info@realmeals.org. Please send your comments and explain that one to me, because I really would like to be enlightened. info@realmeals.org. Let's talk about JetBlue.
Oh, yeah. Fly the vegan-friendly skies.
That's leather so seats.
That's so funny that you brought that up. I know, except for the leather.
Right. Well, you did.
But otherwise, they're doing some good things.
You blogged about JetBlue.
I did.
Not so vegan snacks.
Oh, right. That was the latest one. I had one a few months ago where I did a video too along with it, and I showed everybody the snack box that they have that's pretty much all vegan. They don't say it's vegan, but it's all vegan.
It's so not nutritious, but...
Yeah, it may not be the most nutritious, but it had like pita chips and some hummus that was like seal-packed, so
right.
It was for freshness. Not freshness, but anyway, but so you wouldn't die from eating it. But yeah.
Not right away.
Not right away.
It's got preservatives in it.
Exactly. So I was all, oh, vegan. And then I was on their flight last week, and they changed their animal crackers to the iced animal crackers instead of the plain animal crackers.
And it has dairy.
No, it has gelatin in it.
Oh, boo. Did you write them a letter?
I did. I blogged about it, and then I posted a comment. They haven't gotten back to me yet, but they did get back to me on the other one, like within a few days. So I'm sure I'll hear back eventually. But then it brought up this whole thing, because I was like looking at everything. I was like, oh, I really should talk about sugar, too, because... Sugar is, you know,
charred animal bones,
and you don't know if you're buying, you know.
Wait a minute, somebody's going, what? Charred animal bones? So let's back up a little bit. And so most traditional conventional white sugar, Domino and CNH, there are many steps in processing sugar cane, or sugar comes from beets. There are other places where they make sugar. Sugar cane, and what's the other one? Anyway, doesn't matter. But there are many, many steps where they strip out all the vitamins and they do all kinds of things to make it pure white. And one of the filtration processes involves charred animal bones. It's kind of like a charcoal, but it's charred animal bones. And so that's another one on the list if you're really thinking about going vegan and you want to eliminate animal suffering.
Right.
There are many sugars, fortunately, today, evaporated cane juice, and lots of brands, and they're great.
And, I think PETA has a list of a bunch of brands that are vegan. I don't know
Florida
how much
Crystals,
they vetted.
Florida Crystals, Sucanet.
But not just, like, the brands of sugar, but, like, you know, Oreos or whatever, you know. Because the packet, I mean, yeah, it's easy to know what can you put in your baked goods, but, you know, what can you buy? And Certified Vegan now is on all kinds of products have gone and put that on there. So, you know, if you buy those cookies or that candy, that's Certified Vegan, so...
And so some people might be overwhelmed and think, oh, my God, there's just so much, I can't do it. It's just too complicated. And yet, so what you do is, number one, you take a low, deep breath. Take a breath in, and then exhale.
And do something.
And
take
a small step. Mm-hmm. Start. Do something. And one by one, you don't have to do it all in one big chunk.
Yep.
Or you can. I mean, there are people that go, quote, cold turkey.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll always be discovering something.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's animal products in almost everything.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm just still discovering some of those things as I've become more... pimpish. Become more of the vegan pimp. You know, you learn more about products and things like that that have...
Well, some of the packaging, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't get an ingredients list in your packaging.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are a lot of plastics that have animal products in them. And I know this because there are some Tupperware-type containers that are certified as kosher.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because the kosher community, the Jewish community that has some strict food laws, don't want their food touching things that are not considered kosher. And so they have, I forget what brands are kosher certified, and it just seems like, whoa, I never thought about a container.
But they have the label on it, and you know there's no animal product
right.
in it if it's kosher.
So there you go.
Ugh. Well, what about your bottle of water here? What about Poland Spring?
I have no idea. It doesn't say.
And
you just don't
yours,
know.
Yours might, because it's like, it's a green.
No, I've never seen a container like this say.
Mm.
Yeah, so we just don't know.
This doesn't say.
But we do the best we can.
We do.
We do the best we can. Ah. Okay.
That's so true. So, the thing, too, is like when you talk about those things like honey and, you know, the sugar, I think people kind of throw their hands up like, oh, you vegans are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It sort of gets a bad rap when you get down to some of those, you know,
yeah,
finer.
And that's the interesting thing, because I don't think I'm crazy. I think everyone else is crazy.
Yep.
I mean, why would I want to eat something that comes from a precious, precious life form that has been separated from its mother within 24 hours of birth, that has been chained and confined and fed very low quality nutrition, and ends up living in its own excrement and filth, and then is just not even life anymore, because it has not been able to really grow and learn. And then it moves from this miserable, painful existence to a slaughterhouse where it is really frightened, and there's no pleasant moment in this experience because it's not made to be pain-free. Sometimes they're stunned and the stunner doesn't work. They're strung up usually on their legs, and they hear the other animals screaming. And then once they're slaughtered, you know, if it's a chicken, for example, it gets thrown in this fecal soup of all kinds of bacteria and germs thriving in this hot temperature. And then there's this concept of USDA inspected, which is a joke, because most of the animals that get pushed through are not inspected. There's just too many millions of them, and a handful of inspectors, they can't do anything. And so a lot of the animals that are sick, and a lot of them are, that might actually have visible signs of sickness, those things are just cut away. And the food ultimately gets put in a package and covered with saran wrap and looks clean. And sometimes they're given artificial colors to make them look kind of healthy, because some of them are gray and sickly looking. Why do I want to eat that?
Mm-hmm. There was a commercial on the other day.
Because it's cheap? Because it tastes good? You can make excrement taste good. Add a little sugar. Don't look at me. You can. What are chitlings? I mean, there are people that eat them, and they're like the last part of the intestine before it's the colon. It's very near what I just said.
No,
it is.
Not
and,
pleasant.
And you saute it up with garlic and onions and spices?
How is everybody in the studio isn't vegan by now?
I don't know.
Don't they hear you talking?
Yeah, they do.
Are they hearing us now? They're just freaking ignoring us.
Yeah, I
that
know. That's
I don't
the
know
planet.
What his problem is. He's got
anyway, so that's why I think everyone else is crazy.
I think I lost my thing.
Oh, okay. Your headphone is unplugged for a moment.
It unplugged.
Okay.
I need to stop dancing over
That's
here.
That's okay. So
I was doing pirouettes, and now I've become unplugged. Do I have to screw this in some
no,
more,
just,
don't I?
Just, dear.
Just don't touch it.
Yeah. That's technology for you. Okay, I just want to talk. We have a few minutes left, and I want to talk about some of the events that you've been to that you've been inspired by or enjoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was just at Cynthia King's dance studio. I had the pleasure of meeting her, and she's all vegan, and she's in Brooklyn, and a dancer, obviously, and she makes the only vegan ballet shoes in the nation.
Whoa!
And they were recently featured in a picture on a Vogue that Vogue had of Natalie Portman from her movie Black Swan.
Mm.
And they had an event. They collaborated with Farm Sanctuary and Maya Gottfield, who wrote a book, Our Farm, by the Animals of Farm Sanctuary. So I had a chance to interview and sit down with Maya, and I had a chance to sit down with Cynthia also at the event. And I watched them, you know, Maya read from her book, and Cynthia led the kids through an interpretive dance where they were dancing the animals. And it was just so wonderful to see, you know, to teaching the youth and just bringing, you know, cruelty-free lifestyle out into light. And we had vegan food there, and it was really wonderful, and obviously highlighting Farm Sanctuary and all the work that they're doing. So it's just all of these organizations and these people who are doing this great work inspire me so much to be a better vegan.
We have to inspire each other, because sometimes I think that there's so many people out there doing great stuff, I don't have to do anything anymore because it's all happening. And then I open the door and I step out into the real world, and I realize there is so much more that needs to be done. Yeah. Most people still aren't getting it.
Yeah, but it's so great to see, you know, she's influencing children and their families by opening them up to this, and, you know, so there's progress.
So did Natalie Portman wear her ballet slippers in the movie?
I don't think so. I didn't ask her. I think it was just for the photo shoot. Because actually, I don't think she makes the point shoes there, which I think Natalie probably had to wear. But, you know, that's cruelty to humans along with the animals.
Oh, yeah.
Making those, I can't imagine. So maybe just the idea of point shoes wouldn't be in the realm of Cynthia's. I don't know. I haven't asked her, but
yeah,
I can only imagine.
Right.
I put on a pair of those, the point shoes once, and I couldn't stand up for very long.
Yeah, I have a pair. I haven't worn them in a while, but I don't know. It just takes practice.
I think, yeah. I mean, like anything else, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful to see the ballerinas.
It's outstanding, and I love the idea of combining art with this message. Because the arts, well, as you know, I am connected to the arts, but all throughout the ages, the arts have been used to express all kinds of issues with society, political issues, or some cultural problems and violence and whatever, and it's just a great way to get the message across. Mm-hmm. And so, what better way to get the vegetarian message out across than with the arts and with delicious food?
Mm-hmm. Which we had at that event, too. So.
Right.
That's good.
So, I haven't done this in a while, but I'm going to do it now. And the question is, you have some favorites, some veggie favorites, your favorite dishes?
Well, in terms of products that I've been trying lately, I'm recently fallen in love with Dr. Cow cheese and Parma cheese. Mm. And the reason why I bring it up is because Parma cheese is not necessarily a condiment, but I sometimes just eat it straight out of the thing because it's so good.
It's like nuts and nutritional yeast.
It's nutritional yeast, walnuts, and a little bit of sea salt.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it couldn't be
any more
perfect. It's so good. And you can put it on anything. So.
The Dr. Cow cheese?
Dr. Cow is nut cheese.
Oh, great. Who
made
that?
Made of cashews. Dr. Cow.
Dr. Cow.
I don't know.
Is it sold? I haven't seen it. We make our own nut cheese at home, so I'm not always buying them, but I love one.
I want to learn how to make it at home. I haven't done that. I'd like to learn how to do it.
Okay, well, come on over.
All right. It sounds good. Well, Dr. Cow, I think, is in Brooklyn, if I remember correctly, and they're selling it like Lifetime.
Right.
Some of the smaller, maybe Gary Knoll has them. I don't know.
I don't know. But the great thing is... there's a lot of entrepreneurial spirit out there in Brooklyn, in Chicago. We're seeing a lot of great products pop up that support our culinary needs.
Mm-hmm.
And cheese is one of them. And there are some that I like and some that I don't like, but I'm definitely a lover of nut cheeses because nuts can be a healthy, nutritious food. They come with a lot of necessary essential fatty acids and minerals, good nutrients. As compared to the other fat that's in cheese, which is dairy, saturated fat, and
cholesterol
and things that aren't good for you. Mm-hmm. So you can have your delicious, tasty fat from a nut cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant. And you can use different thickeners to make it hard and make it melty.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing and so delicious.
It's not that difficult to make. I've read some recipes and stuff. I just haven't made it.
Yeah, we make a lot of cashew cheese at home, and we're experimenting with some other things, but very, very yummy.
Mm.
Very, very, very
like
yummy.
It.
And let's see. We have about a minute or so left. What have we not talked about?
I don't know.
I don't
a
know.
A lot of, sure. Talked about Soma. We really have covered a lot of ground, though.
Yes.
We have.
Let's see. Gosh, I'm all of a sudden tongue-tied for stuff. But you recently blogged about the Peace Food Cafe, which I think we're going to step over to momentarily.
Yeah.
A little love letter. So
yes. In fact, I brought a copy of it to give to Eric,
the owner. Very nice.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's certainly, we started this at the beginning of the show, but it's all about access and providing the products that people want and need and making them sustainable, making them cruelty-free, and that's what we want to support.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So we're going to maybe go get a green juice there.
I think so.
And support them.
So thank you, Sharon Azarian.
Thank you, Karen. Please visit
the Vegan Pimp, veganpimp.com. Lots of great things up there. Get your Vegan Sense button. And I'm Karen Hartglass, and this has been It's All About Food. Have a delicious week.